Greetings, hello, and welcome to the Beyond Earth show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you all of you for joining me today on this beautiful new year, the year of our Lord 2026. And it is January 10th, 2026, and 10 days into the new year. And how amazing is everything? How lovely is your life? How wonderful is your life right now? Where are the places that you'd like to modify, improve, and remark upon in your personal self, in your externalization, your internalization? What are the new prospects for yourself? And so we ask ourselves all these variables throughout our time and space here on Earth. And as any human goes through the ebb and the flow of contrast and also expansion and contraction, and there's always going to be some sort of conflict, chaos, and that internal or the external. And how do we navigate through? How do we navigate through, especially in a new year that we seek to honor ourselves in a new way? And also, if we've sought out something that we may have predicated from 10 years ago, let's say, like, oh, 10 years ago on New Year's, I literally said I was going to do this, and it's 10 years now that's passed, and I didn't even lift a finger for that goal. So, what I want to discuss today is an extension of the, and it's not a generic New Year's resolution. It's not minimized, it's not given any less of a significance because of how often psychologically we can fall off of a goal due to procrastination, fear, success, and also the lack of consistency that is all funneled into those equations, and they correlate, they complement each other, or they detract from one another. But part of the psyche. So today I'd like to discuss the shadow self. And those of you that are familiar with Carl Jung and the Jungian archetype and the shadow self, the deep within, the wellspring within us all. And if we look upon what is it beneath in our shadow, in our subconscious, that's holding us back from continuing onward in a future that we would like to externalize for the best of ourselves? What is holding us back? And if we look at our highest self, our Christ consciousness, our guardian angel, our cosmic consciousness, our universal consciousness, or all of the above, your Buddha consciousness, whatever is respective for you, we can see what challenges are seemingly habitual. What is consistent in the inconsistency? So if there's something that seems like, oh, well, this is just my modus operandi, I start the new year off and I tell myself I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z. And then the 365 days pass and I'm back there again. And now it's been 10 years, right? So all of us can relate to that in some capacity, or we know of other people that also share that. So in a collective, it's not a criticism to the self, but it's more of a time to look within. And so when we look within and we pray, we meditate, we listen to the still small voice of God within us. And if we're reading our Proverbs, if we're opening the Bible up for the first time in a long time, or if not for the first time ever. And it's literally like a resurrection of the self in the new year, looking within. And if it's not the Bible you're picking up, if it's not Proverbs you're reading, it's affirmations in a different way, or it's a new protocol for health or for money or for love, in any capacity that you're seeking to improve the self, look at your future self. So, if we just ask ourselves a very delicate yet serious question that deserves a great deal of respect, but if we imagine ourselves in the future, so if you're 40 today, perhaps you want to say, my 80-year-old self, And if you're 80 years old today, perhaps you want to ask your 100-year-old self, right? So, what would your future self say to you today? Would your future self from the future, coming back from the future through time and space, and the action that you're doing today that you're really praying or that you're really seeking to absolve from yourself and to just make a resolute that, oh, I want to quit drinking, or I want to quit smoking, or I want to quit shopping, or I want to quit eating, or I want to quit being mean to people, or I want to quit being rude to my friends, whatever it might be, right? Whatever it is. And I get some things are more on a physiological scale. Some things are actual true diseases of the mind, and they're not so easy. But still, if we confront certain things, we can see a perspective where if we place compassion in the present self and also into the future self. So if one's 40 today, you want to invite your 80-year-old self to say, hey, I really wish that you would start being nicer to yourself. I really wish that you'd start to carve out a little more time for yourself to do your goals. Or I really wish that you would take better care of yourself because when you reach 80, you're going to think, wow, I wish when I was 40, I had done X, Y, and Z, implemented more of a positive health balance, right? Orientation towards that. Or the future self would say, you are going to regret being mean to these people that it was just a hypersensitivity, whatever it may be, right? Time is a value. Time is a currency. You are a currency. You're a life force, your energy. Every single day that you are granted a breath, every single day that you wake up and the good Lord gives you another blessing of a day. It is literally why the gift of the present is classified as a gift, a present. The present in the present moment is a gift of time. And we can't really buy time. We can buy someone else's time. We can pay for time to spend, but we can't pay for it. We can't buy it back. You can sell things, you can barter things, you can exchange things, of course, but time is a valuable resource. And our time here, while it is finite, but let's maximize the time we have. So sometimes people say, I wish I had more time for myself, or if only I had time. Well, let's look at your trajectory. Let's look at all of the necessary responsibilities that if you're the head of the household, you have 10 children, you're all by yourself. Of course, yeah, it's difficult, but you look at the time management and you see, and then other people who don't have that many responsibilities, but they're overstimulated, they're highly activated, their nervous system is constantly in flight or fight, and also their acceleration is just in a nanosecond. So it's difficult for them to manage time and gauge time because they're always in a sense of anxiety or nervousness. And then depression. Depression is also, it affects time. So sometimes we can lose track of time. Sometimes we say, where did the time go? Sometimes it can feel like it's an eternity until something happens, or it's just gone by too fleeting. So time in itself, it has its own individual language to everyone going through whatever they're going through. And sometimes, like I believe Einstein, and I'm just going to paraphrase, but he had said that if you sit on a hot coal, it's going to feel like an eternity. But if you're in the presence of a beautiful woman or a nice person, it's going to go by so quickly, right? So yes, there are times like when time goes by when you're having fun. Time flies when you're having fun. But in respect of time, we can make time our friend. We can maximize time as our friend as opposed to the enemy or the pressure of time. But when we look at the element of that exact equation of time in the present moment and being in the now is now, And anxiety, yes, it's an apprehension for a future reality, a future outcome. And the past is a reflection of what's already passed that we can't change, but we can learn from it, and we can actually modify our present and our future self from what we've learned from the past, good or bad, right? So when we study history or historically on our own, in our individuation and in our family, our ancestral line, or in anything else that we might find of interest, we see that time is of value. And how do we want to spend that precious time? Do you want to invest a little bit more of that time into yourself? Do you want to invest a little bit more of that time that you may be spending doing things that are kind of mindless, that might be numbing a part of yourself, and you don't want to do that anymore, right? So again, this is all your free will. Some people just, that's fine. Whatever they want to do, they want to do. But if you're actually asking, these are for people who are asking, I'd like to spend my time more wisely. That's what I'm addressing. And we look in our shadow self, if we look in the deep subconscious, the things that we fear, the things that we create as a blockade, the wounded aspect of the self, the places that we might still feel as if it's living and breathing in this exact moment, but it lived and existed 20 years ago, 2 years ago, 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, but it's no longer really living in real time, but it's living in the subconscious time clock of our memory bank, of our subconscious memory bank. And that can also affect us, of course, going forward, making a self declaration. And then we end up failing, or we find ourselves that we'll fail finding our God-given ability and our God-given purpose, how we're destined to go, where, and how we're destined to become. And to be who, what, and why, where, our purpose. So, a lot of the times, the unexpected source is our own shadow. And if we look at that unexpected source, or we're befriending or becoming aware and familiarized with it, we take a look deep within to that source. We say, well, if I repeat the same thing from before, then I'll have the same outcome. But if I do change something, what is the one element that I can change? What is part of the equation that is not part of the common denominator that contributed to my former, quote unquote, self-proclaimed failure, self-proclaimed limitation, self-proclaimed, what has been debilitating? So, if we look at that one denominator that we can just tweak, almost like an ingredient, what was I missing? Perhaps I was missing time for myself. I found myself getting more frustrated or angrier or procrastinating or more afraid or more anxious. But what was I not doing that contributed towards that? Oh, perhaps I wasn't taking a time out, a necessary even 10 minutes a day to breathe, to pray, to meditate, to journal, to just decompress and sit in a quiet closet or in a quiet locker room or a quiet bathroom with, whatever it might be, just to tune out the noise. So a lot of times we look at our nervous system and it can be hypersensitive, fragile, can have PTSD, it can have so many different relatable elements that contribute to those concerns that you might limit yourself going forward and change. But if you really look at the shadow of the self and you feel like, okay, I would like to change my high self relationship. And so when I say highest self relationship, the highest self is living outside of your shadow self. Your highest self is an aspect of your higher consciousness. So, those of you in the Christ consciousness, Application, of course, God leads, guides, and directs you. And then you also have a sub aspect of that, which is part of the guardian angel energy for those of you that also assign to that for yourself. And there are those that don't, and that's fine, but I'm just speaking across the board here. And in your highest self, what would God have you do? What would God want for you? God would want you to be happy. God wants you to pick up the guitar after 30 years of procrastinating. God would want you to clean your room. God would want you to learn how to cook or how to garden or get back to the gym or quit smoking or quit doing the bad habit that might hurt your future self, right? So that can be part of the higher self. But if you're looking at the deeper realm, the inner abyss, what feels the heaviest when it feels like the weight of the world is upon you and that negative voice within you that can create the self-sabotage, that negative voice of the lower frequency, the lower psychism says, why bother? You've tried that for 10 years. You're never going to quit. Or you're never going to improve, or you're never going to pick up that guitar, or you're never going to quit drinking or smoking or whatever vice. So, of course, you're going to believe that voice. But if you start to attune yourself to your highest self, to the voice of God, to the voice of Buddha, to the voice of your guardian angel, the voice of the universe, the voice of a higher power, right? Like if you look at, let's say the founder of AA, Chuck C, I believe Chuck Chamberlain. And he wrote a beautiful book, and it's A New Pair of Glasses, I believe. I'm going by memory, so forgive me if I didn't say that title perfectly. But all of us, no matter what it is, even if it's not alcohol, it's surrendering to a higher power. So if we surrender to a higher power, and again, that's inspired by Saint Francis of Assisi. Chuck C was inspired by Saint Francis of Assisi, and I can discuss more of that another time. But when we do surrender to a higher power, what is the higher power? In addition to God, into Buddha, the universe, the cosmos, the cosmic kingdom, all of that that is relative to your respective individual preference and belief. But what is that higher power for you? Is that higher power your highest knowing self that really, really wants the ultimate best for you, that wants to serve the highest good of your existence on earth, right? That wants you to succeed, that wants you to make great choices, that wants you to live and breathe an abundant, beautiful, healthy, and resilient life, right? The highest self has virtue. The higher power has virtue. And religion aside, whatever it might be for you, whenever you go higher, 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 there's an elevation in the psychism. When you go lower, of course, the frequency is more dense, it's lower, and there's more of a contention, and you can't breathe as well. But the more you go higher, you're more in that elevation of thought, elevation to spirit, elevation to God, elevation to the universe, elevation to the cosmos, elevation of your heart, elevation of your intellect, elevation of your emotions, elevation of your psyche, elevation in a psycho-spiritual manner. And then, of course, the elevation in the frequency. So, in the highest realm of frequency, what do we operate from? How do we operate so fluidly? Well, we go into a place that we can soar and that we can truly believe in ourselves, that we can believe when we attune to our highest self, when we attune to a higher power. We believe that, yes, I can quit something that is negative or hurtful for me or hurtful for others or all of the above. And yes, I have the courage now to pick up the guitar after 30 years and learn how to do a simple riff because I've always wanted to do it. And before I leave the planet, I want to play acoustic guitar or whatever, electric guitar. Just saying. That could be someone's goal. And that guitar's been sitting there, rusty in its case in the corner or in the basement, been through all the moves, been cross country or across, the world and never been opened, right? And it's scary. Sometimes it's scary. And I'm using that as just a little example, but it's scary to say, wow, I have this beautiful thing that I'm just so interested in. I'm scared I'm not good enough. I'm scared that it's too late for me. I'm scared that maybe I won't be able to keep up. If I just start, then I won't. Well, I challenge you to grab that guitar, just gently talk to it, polish the dust off gently, and just sit with it. And then breathe and just say, you know what? I'm going to give myself permission with my highest self, with a higher power, with God, with the universe. I'm going to open up this case. I'm going to see what's inside. And this is, in a way, metaphorically for your shadow self, the deep inner abyss of the self. And you open up that guitar case. You open it up and you see this beautiful vintage Gibson made out of, wood and maybe koa wood and wow, everything is so beautiful and it's intact and the frets are there, everything. And it's like, wow, like I need to restring this perhaps, but wow, I'm looking within, I'm looking in the inner mirror, I'm looking in the inner mirror. And you just sit with that and be proud of yourself that you just polished that guitar case, be proud of yourself that you opened up that case and that you just looked within. You transcended a fear. You transcended a lower frequency limitation by opening that up. Now you're in the middle. You're in the midheaven of yourself now because you just literally went against what you thought you couldn't do. And now you're more in alignment with your highest self, with a higher power that says, yes, you can. Bill, open up that guitar. Jane, open up that guitar, whatever it might be, right? And you see it. Well, that's what it's like when you look within and when you pray, when you journal, you can start to see what's coming out of your subconscious. And it could be for anything. It could be for perhaps your relationships, perhaps your family dynamic, your children, your parents, colleagues, neighbors, lovers, your spouses. Whatever it may be. And you can say, where have I been not nourishing? Where have I been overgiving, overextending? Where have I been imbalanced? Where have I been taking too much? Where have I not been reciprocating? And that's like opening the treasure box of yourself and looking deep within. So when I explain the higher power and going into, I need to modify this because I will not reach my future self if I don't stop this behavior today or tomorrow or this year in a calendar year. And then where do you find yourself a year from then in even more distress? Because the more that you didn't get to at least try to open up that case, then the pressure builds. And then the self-proclaimed failure identity starts to exacerbate more so, right? So that's why it's very healthy to just kind of take accountability of the self and do miniature strides, whatever is in proportion to your capacity. And that way, when you actually go and transcend beyond that, you might be pleasantly surprised with that. Not only did you polish the case, you actually opened it. And then you sat with it and you admired it. That is huge, right? So I hope that metaphor makes sense. So, in the next part of the shadow, when we look at our future self, what is the future self and our highest self? Do we give our highest self enough attention? So, how many of you, if you believe in guardian angels or spirit guides, right? How many do of you do we often do we actually speak to them? We might sometimes take for granted, or we're so busy with this tangible third dimensional reality that we're so focused and we're looking at what's in front of us, this book, this pen, this microscope, that box, that crystal, right? That fragrance, the things that we can smell, see, touch, feel, open up, read, hear, right? But when we're in this automatic pilot, we're kind of in a tunnel vision of what we can directly see, feel, touch, hear. But we shut down in the fourth and fifth dimensional realms where we can see through our third eye, we can see through God's eye, we can see through the Holy Spirit discernment, right? And we can often forget that we are loved. We can often forget that we have a relationship with God or our guardian angels or spirit guides, our ancestors, all of the above, right? But if we actually stop and attune and say, well, my guardian angel, how can I serve you? How can I be served? What can I do? I mean, there's all these questions, right? People always say, well, how can God serve me? How can you serve God? Right? And it's like, what can we do? What can we ask for? Do we want to ask to be served, or do we want to serve, right? Or do we want to ask for miracles and requests? But how are we going to compensate and balance that out? So if we actually take care of ourselves, if we go in and we serve ourselves in a way that we can thereby altruistically serve and benefit others, then we are serving God. We are serving our guardian angels. We are serving the Holy Kingdom. We are serving the universe in a collective, right? So it's like a spider web effect. So if you help someone make their day easier and you bring them 7 apples, 8 bananas, and 9, let's say, pounds of almonds, let's just say, right? You're covering their fruits and their grains for that moment. Well, you're freeing up them to be able to go and help other people because they can feed those people, and then they have more time freed up to teach and then make them shoes or weave them something special, right? So I'm just giving examples. One contribution can actually exponentially multiply, and then it just takes off and it just continues the gift that keeps on giving, and then paying it forward and all that. So if we want to be served, then how do we serve first? And we can serve ourselves. And this doesn't mean being selfish. It actually means that, like in the airplane, you have to put the mask on yourself before your neighbor, especially if it's a child. Because if you don't have it on you, then you can't properly put the oxygen mask on your neighbor because you won't be able to breathe, right? So when you look more at that aspect of how do you connect with your highest self and your guardian angels and God and your spirit guides and so forth, what is the part of you that's afraid? What's the part of you that's afraid of actually doing it? Are you in freeze mode? Are you a little bit in the paralysis analysis mode that happens to all of us at some point? Well, when we look into the persona of ourself and our, let's say, the psychological clothing of ourself, how we want to be seen in the world, how we think we're seen in the world, how we assume we're, witnessed in the world, and how we see ourselves in the world, and that whole combination, like a three-way mirror. We address that psychological clothing in a certain way where it's like, okay, if I'm allowing myself to be seen in this light, what matches my externalization from my internalization? What is the output ratio? Do I really reflect outwardly what I'm exuding from the inside out? So this is where energy comes in. So part of that lower psychism versus the elevated energetic psychism. When you are radiating more of a clear inner light, it can be seen eons away. It can be felt eons away. And oftentimes we dismiss our light, we dismiss our power, we dismiss that we have a capability and permission to shine our greatest light, to stand in our inherent kingdom of God-given power as a sovereign and liberated soul here on planet Earth. So we suppress, we shrink down, we minimize, we diffuse ourself, we deflate ourself in a way. And that's when the negative self-talk comes in and the negative fear-based separative ego really takes over. And that's what keeps us also behind from reaching our goal in the new year. Or it's also a contribution of negative voices of criticism, or the negative assumptions that, oh, they'll criticize me if I do this. And where is that coming from? A past place that when you did one thing, you remember, you did a series of things, good or bad, or perhaps it was not justified at all, but it still affected you, right? And you thought it was bad, but it really wasn't bad. It was just maybe a mistake. We can hold on to those mistakes in our shadow, and we can really feel that so deeply in our subconscious. And we listen to the subconscious, that lower frequency, and then we just prohibit. It's verboten. It's just we are not allowed to go there anymore. So shut it down. Let's just deviate from the course and find a way to flee. Find a way to go into avoidance, find a way to run away, find a way to deflect, distract ourselves. And then what happens next? Things start to, of course, fester. The more that it resists, the more it persists. All of you have heard that before. So, and also too, the more attention that we give to something, the more that it can grow, right? But if we actually give attention to something that we no longer want to hold on to, we give it the attention necessary in the observational analysis perspective of the, like an examination, examining and thereby coming to a healthy prognosis and diagnosis to extract, to alleviate, to temper it. So it doesn't grow and it doesn't fester. So, but if we give attention to something, but we don't do anything about it, that's the difference. If we give attention, like, oh, I have a guitar sitting there for 30 years, it's going to be 31 years going on in February. And that is us giving attention to it. And the next year goes by and it's 32 years, I'm just giving it attention, but I'm not taking action. So, because I'm not taking action, then it's just that pain in the back of your mind, the pain in the back of your heart is going to say, oh, that guilty feeling, like you are failing because you didn't even bother to address that tiny thing, right? So we look at our psychological clothing, the veneer that we use at times to keep ourselves safe or to keep us safe from being seen as vulnerable. Well, this year, perhaps looking deep within in your own way that works for you and saying the proclivities towards positive or proclivities towards negative, what are things your future self would thank you for in the future? Think about that and see if that resonates with you. And if it doesn't resonate with you, then there are other ways that, of course, that can, where you can look at the miracles, perhaps. Let's say the miracles. And miracles can be a triggering word for some people. Miracles can be a very pleasant and, benefic word for a lot of people. And miracle can also come up with a trigger for disappointment. And why could it be in the trigger of disappointment? Because so often if a quote unquote miracle has not occurred for the person at a certain time in their life, where perhaps they find a disdain towards God, the creator, they feel forsaken, or they feel disdain towards, well, nothing ever works out for me. Well, what happens is that because of that one or several disappointments, they kind of go hand in hand. And the reason that can be is because in the subconscious, it's like nature versus nurture, the cycle. What comes first? What perpetuated the cycle to continue to on go in that certain direction, in that path? So if I believe, me personally, that, well, nothing good ever happens for me because all these bad things happened, well, the river is never the same twice, is it? And if we allow ourselves to see that just because the failures had happened before sequentially, perhaps this next time could be your win, could be your miracle, because you're a different person today than you were even 5 minutes ago. You're a different person today, even 5 minutes from now, right? So, but if you're convinced, though, that nothing ever good happens to me anyways, well, pay attention to that language, because we are all blessed with like these little beautiful antennas, these transistor radios in our pineal gland and in our crown chakra. And when God speaks of Holy Spirit with discernment and wisdom, and if you look at the prophets and all of that in the Bible, and all of the saints that have the gift of the clairvoyance and clairaudience and all of that, and so much more, all the supernatural that is truly within, God's application, God's gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the prophets, so if you sit and you look within, what is the radiating, out picturing voice that you're broadcasting out? Nothing ever good happens for me. Nothing ever good happens for me. Nothing ever good happens for me. Well, of course, we're going to attract nothing good happening, correct? And I'm not saying that you're a fool if you say everything great is happening for me over and over and over. I'm definitely not saying that anyone's a fool. However, there is truth to words. There's truth to the magnetism of what we think, what we hear, what we feel, what we speak. And to speak of the good word, to speak of God would want you to say everything good will happen for all of us. Everything good will happen for me. And then you also have to take accountability. So this is where a lot of people find themselves in a disdain. They're like, I've done everything to co-contribute for my miracle to occur. I did X, I did Y, I did Z, I did all the alphabet in multiple languages, but it still didn't happen. But what's the one missing thing? The subconscious was stuck in a place of a self-limiting belief because the other times it didn't happen. So now it's saying, well, what's the point of it happening? Because it's never lasted. So if you go about the world and you start to say, I am just going to radiate the peace and the joy on a energetic scale, let's say. Let's just go simple here. If you have like an inner mantra, I am of peace, I am of joy, it's amazing what happens. It's amazing what can happen. But if I go about the world and I'm saying, I'm angry, I'm rageful, I'm so frustrated, I'm so disconcerted, I'm just so beyond agitated, I'm aggravated, I'm vitriolically feeling explosive, right? Well, there will be a resonation with that energy and it will follow, almost like Eeyore with the dark cloud, right? So energy does flow wherever it does go. Attention grows, negative or positively. But if you switch from the dynamic of what your highest self your higher self, your higher power, your guardian angel, your own true inherent Christ consciousness power, that version of you is always going to want to say, you know what? I can beat this. I can survive this illness. I can survive this battle. I can survive this divorce. I can survive that my child has something wrong in the physical, medical, like something bad has happened to my child. I can survive because I need to stay strong for my child. But if we're in a dark place that we all have been through, right, then of course it's just going to be more attracting the dark. And you'll find that often people who've been through literally the worst scenarios, like the most terminal, the most tragic, the most literally, how can something so horrific happen to the best human being? Oftentimes, you'll find that somehow they powered through it to keep everyone around them in a positive way. And if it wasn't for their ability to transcend those self-limiting beliefs, they themselves became that miracle despite the tragedy. They themselves were able to show others that there's a miracle still, and that in a world of free will where bad things can happen to any one of us at any time, and good things can happen to any one of us at any given time, there's a balance and there's a ratio. But it's how we handle whatever bad and how we handle whatever good that radiates more so of that energy. And so if there's bad news in one department, if God is closing a door on something happened and someone lost their job and it wasn't their fault and the company's closing down and this is the sole provider of the family. Well, if the person is literally saying, I'm trying everything, I can't find a new job, that's the time when you want to ask for the miracle and you want to release and surrender from the subconscious that believes that you were the failure, that believes that, you know, the pressure was so real that it almost made you feel as if you couldn't survive anymore, right? Just something so deep and intensive. But when you say, you know what, I really want to strive to attune myself to that, I know that the doors will open for me. I know that God, I know the universe will really provide because I'm working hard to transcend the doubts, even if the doubts were posited from what happened. How can it not be that I would have those doubts? Because it's only human. But if I transcend that and I go into the supernatural and I go into Christ consciousness and I go into universal consciousness, I go in my highest self, the higher power, that I do believe that I'm going to get something greater and bigger, and it's going to be the right position. It's going to be the right everything. Well, typically that's what happens because when the interviews happen, somehow they're radiating energy. That name is more sparkly. That energy field of that individual is more in this illuminated path. And there's a different feeling because sometimes we go in desperation, and desperation goes into that lower frequency. And sometimes we can't help it. But if we can transcend it and go into where we're not in that state of desperation, but we're in a state of, I know that I will be blessed. I know that I will be abundant. I know that I will be receiving. I'm giving myself permission to receive. And I know it sounds so simple, but it's just sometimes it is simple. Sometimes we overcomplicate things because we are in a place of desperation. We're in a place where it feels like everything is crashing down upon us. And so that's when we really need to simplify. In those exact precise moments where everything feels like the weight of the world, if you actually tune deep within and you listen to the still small voice of God or your higher self, you tap into that frequency and you know and you hear that all will be well, all will transcend, opportunities that are better are coming my way. It's very interesting, the telepathy that can occur. It's very interesting about the quantum energies that in this beautiful universe that we are living and we're floating upon, and that we're existing and cohabitating with one another, that magic is real. God's magic is real. The divinity is real. The divine kingdom is real. And so when we do believe and we have that unwavering faith, that's what transcends the blockades, the obstacles, the doubts, because doubt is our number one enemy. And of course, there are times that we should doubt something, such as if it's a poisonous berry or if it's something else occurring that we need to be afraid of. Of course, there's a doubt. Should I go down that dark alleyway? No, you should not. I'm speaking of the doubt when you're praying, the doubt when you're making a goal, a focus point for the new year, a doubt that may exist when you're working on creating and facilitating that miracle for yourself or for someone else, right? So, looking at your inherent sacred gifts, a lot of people don't believe that they have the ability to help other people. But we're all blessed with the ability to have gifts of different kinds. And some of us want to be purposeful in that way. Some of us don't know where to begin. So if that's one of your goals, is to be purposeful for serving others, again, go within, serve yourself first in this way. Seek within, open that box, polish what's within that box, look within at that inner mirror, what reflects back out to you. And so, another aspect of the shadow self and going into your future self, you can also. Journaling is quite common, right? But you can make like a little miniature timeline. So 3 months and just check in, or if it's 1 week to another week. Everyone, like I said, has a different relationship with time. So whatever is conducive to your personal timeline, your personal lifestyle, the way in which you operate in the world, in the midst of your responsibilities. So, those are many elements to consider for prospering in your new year 2026. And so, before we close the show today, I did just want to address that if we do look at ourself like a tree, we look at the roots of ourself, the branches of ourself, what do we want to sprout? Right, so we have cherry blossom trees that are, the indigenous to Japan and regions of Asia, and they're known in their auspiciousness for they bloom in a very short period of time, around March and April, right? And they're known for being so beautiful, but they fleet for just a certain time, and then they are gone and they regenerate throughout the year. And if we look at ourselves, though, like a tree that is going through the seasons, where do we need to nurture ourselves? Where do we need to re nurture the root? Do we need more sunlight, more water, more nutrients? Do we need to attract more birds to come nest in our tree? And through the winters of our life, and then going into the spring of our life, and the summer, back in the fall, and the winter again. So, look at your life like a tree. And do you want to grow apples? Do you want to grow almonds? Do you want to grow and sprout? Do you want to be a cherry blossom tree? Whatever it might be, do you want to be an evergreen, right? Do you want to be an aspen? Do you want to be a redwood? Whatever it may be. And just look at how can I nurture myself in the new year? How can I prosper myself and have my rebirth in that way? How can I resurrect myself again and weave myself in the duality of time and space and coexisting with nature? And so you are a child of God. You are an important soul upon this universe. Your presence matters. Your contract, your soul contract. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone is sacred and special. So honor your sacredness within, honor your highest self, honor your guardian angels, honor your higher consciousness, and just let that be the mantra to ponder upon going into the new year. So I want to thank all of you for your presence today of the Beyond Earth show. And it's always a privilege and an honor to be with you. Thank you for those that subscribe to my show. And I hope that you have a beautiful implementation and also integration. And that if anything that you could take from today's show can help and be benefic for you, then it is just a pleasure. So I wish you a beautiful new year, and I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. Once again, I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and this has been the Beyond Earth Show. I hope you have a beautiful and blessed weekend. Thanks again. Bye.